This episode is brought to you by Deary's Gymnastics Supply, proudly serving the gymnastics community for over 28 years, and the official grip supplier of the U.S. national teams. Find everything at gymsupply.com. Again, that's gymsupply.com.
Are you ready for another mini-sode? Here's your host, my mom.
For today's mini-sode, I decided to bring back one of my original guests, Justin Spring. He is my second guest on the show, so if you haven't listened to the full episode, I encourage you to go back and check it out. He participated in a fake job interview for his warm-up, in which I interviewed him as a greeting card content creator. I know that sounds weird, but he slayed it. So I decided for this mini-sode, I wanted to follow up on his actual job. I hope you enjoy it.
Here we go.
All right. Hey, Justin Spring, welcome back.
Hey.
I appreciate you coming on again. I want to let you know that your episode has made a lot of guests to follow very nervous.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. You set the bar kind
of
high.
Just being me, you know, just full of witty garbage, quick-witted BS all the time. You see my mic'd up. I just...
That's my favorite thing. I told you that's my favorite thing. So yeah, before people come on, because you were episode two or three.
Very honored that I mean, it's just because you felt more comfortable to reach out to me and didn't have anyone else. So I understand. I know where I sit and I know where I
am. I don't know if that's an insult to me or you, but.
You've certainly made some strides though. I've seen your lineup list.
Yeah, it's been pretty great.
It's pretty impressive. Impressive.
Thank you for trusting me too, because I didn't even know what the hell I was doing with the footage. I was just like,
We could put together an entertaining conversation. If nothing else, if you didn't learn a damn thing about anything, at least it would be entertaining to listen to. So
it really was. And that was why I'm comfortable with you, but I kind of had this pretty darn strong feeling that it was just going to be fun regardless. So
yeah,
it was a great balance of humor and it was a great balance of insight as well. So thank you for that. Thanks for trusting me. And thanks for being a part of how the show has kind of launched into what it's launched into. When I do reach out to new guests, though, I have an email that I send them to let them know what to expect. And then I encourage them to listen to a show or two.
Mm-hmm.
And your episode is one of the ones that's linked as an example of kind of the feel of the show. And then they come on and they're like, yeah, I listened to Justin. I can't do that.
I can't make lobster bisque with shrimp tails. Like, what are you... just pulling things right out of his ass. That is impressive. And then of course we looked up later that's actually a thing.
What's actually a thing?
I'm pretty sure that's actually a thing, using ground improvement. So like we can't trademark that or patent that method for making our lobster bisque soup, unfortunately.
Oh shit, I gotta go.
Yeah. You've got something in the works. Yeah.
So yeah, you're
Langevin's lobster bisque soup. Coming to a Trader Joe's near you.
So when we met last, you did your greeting card interview, which was a huge hit. Did you get any hits off that? Anybody follow up?
No, unfortunately not.
No, so you're still at Illinois?
I'm still, yeah, yep.
All right. So at the time that we're doing this, it is November 30th. So we're getting closer to season.
Just made it under December.
So what's going on with your real job? Where are you at now compared to when we spoke last time?
Yeah, we were like a little gloom and doom last time, huh?
Yeah, we sure were.
Yeah. So we've come, men's collegiate gymnastics come a long way. I think we're somewhat stabilized. Garbage. To be honest with what's going on in NCAA right now, I don't think even the ADs that are the most in the know what college athletics is going to look like in 3 years, let alone 5 or 10. It's just a crazy time. And so with that amount of uncertainty, I don't know that it has changed, right? We've added some D3 programs, which is very exciting. Simpson College and Greenville. Mm-hmm. Are those the right names? Yeah, that's the right names. Yeah. And so that's very exciting. It's not scholarship programs, but there's still opportunities. And so I don't know, like that's a really strong momentum builder. I think we really need to get another D1 program started. That would be epic. That would be really, really, that would truly be, to me, that would be a tide swinger. That would change, you know, the direction of everything potentially, as far as people seeing value for reinstating small men's Olympic sports, especially one like men's gymnastics that's been just trickling, losing programs for the last 30, 40 years.
How many men's D1 collegiate teams are there right now, including you guys?
13, there will be 15 next year.
Okay. All right.
So a few, the proud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gymnastics. I don't think I can say that. That's a Marines quote. So you have to erase that.
Just give them credit. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. but yeah, as far as my program specifically, it's in preseason. We just had the worst inter squad on recorded history because 75% of my team had COVID in the last 6 weeks. So when you do your strength buildup and your skills buildup and your routines are literally at the point of just finally being able to finish your upgraded routine difficulty, we're pushing mid to high 15 start values. It's, really hard FIG start values in this new code.
And then you have to sit
and watch Netflix for 10 straight days or do, whatever, whatever they did in the team house in their apartments for 10 straight days. It wasn't gymnastics. That's pretty devastating to the training program. So, we had about 7 days, week calendar days, which was like the first day coming back to your athletic activity was like, you can ride a bike for 10 minutes, so you have to wean back in. So their first hard practice was like 2 days out from the inner squad. And we were like, let's see where we're at because season is still when it is. So we need to see where we're at and we are not where we need to be. So that's very scary. So we're trying to get the difficulty back and to be able to hit good halves and even good baseline routines. So,
yeah, that's frustrating. And any coach out there knows that it's very popular for gymnasts to get injured right when they're at that sweet spot.
You know who was the best at that?
That guy.
This guy. Oh my God. At the I hit the peak of my career like 6 different times, followed by an absolute necessity of a surgical invasive procedure. So yeah, not great. Not great.
Wow. Well, yeah. So you can understand what your coaches are feeling.
So much. Yeah. I'm like, this is karma. It's perfect.
And it's heartbreaking for them too. They're the ones doing the work. But so these guys that were out, because now things are a little different from what I understand as far as when people are out for COVID, they're out more for protecting other people. They're not actually feeling super sick, although some are. So what was going on with your guys? Were they quarantining and just they felt fine, but they had to quarantine, or were they actually laid out?
A couple guys had the sniffles and, felt body achy for a day or two and then were fine. Okay. I had one of my guys that just had COVID told me the other day, he was like, I've had this like bronchial thing. Like, I think I have pneumonia. But I feel, I feel worse now than I did when I had COVID, but he's, in the gym working out and getting work done, I'm like, God, that's weird. So
well, that's what I'm wondering if they're home because they have to, are they able to do any sort of strength maintenance or anything like that?
So that's fun. Yeah. So, again, everyone was a breakout case because they were all vaccinated per Illinois' mandate, the University of Illinois. So they're all breakout case. And maybe that's why they all felt fine. Right.
Yeah.
That's what the data shows. So that's good. But yeah, slowly after we lost the big group, it's like, hey, where'd that floor mushroom go? I'm like, hey, where'd all the parallettes go?
It's the parallettes. Yeah.
And like all the teams like, we're bringing some stuff home for the guys that are stuck at home. And then the floor horse was gone. And so they're not swinging rings in the team house, but like they were trying to stay in shape, push ups, anything they could to just keep their wrist, forearms, bodies to moving. So, I can't,
Yeah. So did you see any rising to the top of people that maybe weren't slated to compete with all these guys out?
Yeah, we had, it's too soon to tell.
Yeah.
Nicole, I have no idea what our team's going to look like. It's one of the stronger teams I've had in probably 4 to 5 years. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
We're just not nearly in the place we need to be right now as far as hitting our routines. God, I just don't feel like gymnastics was that hard when I did it. Like, when did it get so damn hard? Like, I look at my high bar lineup and I got 3 or 4 guys pushing routines that I'm like, damn, that's like my Olympic routine. And then like another 3 or 4 hard skills as well. Right. Like this, and they're good college guys.
Yeah.
They're not national team members. They're good college. I'm like, this is crazy. And I'm like pissed that they're not hitting it perfect. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, damn, that's like twice as hard as my own Olympic routine in October. Like, it's just nuts. Yeah. It's nuts. So I don't know if we're going to get these start values or not, but
damn it.
We're pushing the big start values. We need it if we're going to beat the other best teams in the country. So
yeah, of course. Do you communicate with other coaches?
Nope.
Like, no, not. Okay. That was a quick answer.
No, I'm just kidding. Not like, hey, how's training going? Like, I think that's kind of like the taboo, but like, I'm on conference calls and we're on committees and we have monthly calls, checkups about what the picture group is doing, which is kind of the consulting group that USAG hired to work with some coaches to within college gymnastics to help initiate these new programs or to get them started. So like we all connect through that call biweekly. So.
Okay. So there's no comfort in numbers finding out like, oh, this guy's out on that team and they got five down and you don't know any of those.
So it's funny is like Thanksgiving break's a good time. You get, that's when you get the checkup from your guys, right?
All right.
It's like, yo, I heard that Michigan, because they're all teammates and they go back to their big gyms and work out for a day or two at Thanksgiving. You know, like I heard they were doing that. They scored a 400 at their inner squad or this and that. I'm like, yeah, well, we scored a 380, you know, like whatever, like, so, and that's the thing is when you're not quite ready, it doesn't mean anything. Like what really matters is when you're actually ready and then what are you scoring? Cause everyone's going to get ready eventually.
Yep.
And you know, it's what start values play out, what start values are going to actually stay in. So, and then that determines how competitive you are.
Nice. So that's interesting. So this is really the first time in your coaching career that the student has surpassed the teacher in terms of difficulty. Like, is this the first time you've been like, I'm coaching things I actually didn't do?
No, because I've done almost all the stuff, just not in one routine, right? That's the difference is the endurance level that's required. It's been slowly building over the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Whereas you realize the difficulty would still hold up if you hit it really cleanly, but not at guys got harder. Now I say that, but I don't think the guy that's doing it has hit the routine yet. So I kind of, he likes
you
to tell me,
like,
so my start value is like 6 and 10 higher. I was like, well, if you ever actually hit the full routine in one turn, that would be true. But we're not there yet. Not there yet, big guy.
You still got that.
Save your chirps for when you've successfully finished from start to finish in one turn your actual routine, because we haven't done that yet. That's how hard the routine is.
Yeah.
He's got halves. Perfect. But can't finish, start to can't go for skill 1 to 10 in one turn.
That's a minor detail. Most coaches are perpetually in that situation. And that's why coaches education is so important, because a lot of coaches, I mean, surprising how many didn't do it at all and are great technicians. But also, you know, at the level that you're at, I don't think most coaches are going to say that skill for skill, they could do what their athletes did in their
No, and honestly, I like that conversation, because I don't think in some ways, I think being able to explain what you felt as you were developing that skill yourself can help. But I also think that talents that I just did that skill. Like, you know, like drill, what are the drills you need for that skill? You just do it, right? You know, like that makes it a little bit harder for a talented gymnast to coach, I think, because they things came so easily. So I oftentimes think that some of the more mediocre or below talent level gymnasts for that reason are better at coaching, because they had to grind through the learning process in developing these skills. And so I think it creates a little bit better understanding for them.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I didn't understand bars until 15 years after I did my final dismount. All of a sudden I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
Yep.
I'll have moments where I'm coaching and be like, oh, damn, if I'd have done that.
Yep.
I would have totally changed my entire vaulting career or something. You know, like, damn
100%. Yes, absolutely. So do any of the guys on your team, and this is me being outside of the men's world, and I've told you this a million times, I love it, but I don't pretend to know everything about it. And I'm going to, this is kind of where we're finishing up here. So
I wasn't checking my wife texts me. She's actually asking if we need some more wine. She's at Benny's right now.
Yes. The answer is always yes.
Yeah. Yes, please. Okay, we're good.
So with men going through the NCAA route, and then that's where they're going if they're making a national team or going to the Olympics or this and that, that's happening after or simultaneously. Do you have guys that are having those dreams, or is your team a, this is the culmination of what they're doing?
Yes. We got everything right. Stanford's the holder of the national team right now. Stanford literally has like the U.S. national team as their college team. So that's frustrating for me as not being a coach at Stanford. So, but yes, we have guys that are pursuing that domestically, but also internationally. I think it's different for, you know, you get a lot of those guys that aren't pushing that and using college as a stepping stone to jump off their international career. And I think that makes the experience and a little bit different. Whereas like, if you are one of those guys like a lot of our international guys have come here to help this advance their national team, you know, pursuits or world and, you know, Olympic, you know, endeavors.
Yep.
I think it is a very different lens that they look at the collegiate experience, with, you know, when this is just a tool to help you advance versus this is all I got, this versus this is my Olympics, right? This
right.
Being an all American is the end all be all for my career. Right.
Right.
So that, I think, we definitely see that difference in the guys, and we have all of them, guys that are trying to make the national team and move on to worlds and Olympics, and guys that are like, if I could make lineup, that would be epic. You know,
how does your approach change, or does it, with those different dynamics?
So, I mean, we do a lot of goal setting, and I hate the word goal setting. Like, we use it, but I think it's important to focus on habits and 'cause like having this big goal that's makes you go crazy for, and you're all passionate, is really a good driver for some people, but then that doesn't help you create the stepping stones to achieve that goal every day in practice. And so I think you need both. You need the carrot at the end of the stick through goal setting, but then you also need the kind of the mechanisms in place day to day to day that help you achieve that goal through being excellent every day in the gym, which is really, 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 really hard. So we help guys identify what they want, and then how they get it, right? I mean, that's just kind of coaching 101,
yeah.
Whether it's corporate America or little kids in the gym, right? And,
right.
You know, I think the hardest part of coaching nowadays is how long things take. In juxtaposed to how quickly people expect shit to be there, because
right. Gotcha.
Everything in our world is instant. Like, I should have this routine now, and I didn't learn this skill in 3 turns, so it's not for me. And I'm like, okay, that's ridiculous, right? You know, so... even though I was a little bit like that, but not to the extreme that I'm seeing now. And that's what's really hard to think about gymnastics and really higher level sports in general right now, is just how long it takes to become great, and the patience that your average athlete has. So that's the struggle. You know, the guys will create this mental map and this goal, and like, here's the stepping stone plan to get there. And then on step 2, when it's not working, and I'm like, it's been a week and you're on step 2 of like 30. So like, how do you know it's not working? Like,
and I didn't bring my magic wand to practice.
Yeah. Maybe I mean,
now that's interesting with, you know, you can order groceries tapping your phone now. So why can't you reach your other goals?
Yeah.
I hope you guys are enjoying the show, the mini-sodes and the full episodes, as well as the YouTube playlist Gymnastics Conversations. This show is put on with a very small group. I personally do the booking, research, interview execution, editing, and promo. My husband Derek composes the music and helps out with sound mixing. And the talented Keith Larson is our main sound mixer. And if you'd like to show support for what we're doing and help us continue delivering great shows, you can check the show notes for our Patreon link, and you can support any way you choose. No, you can order groceries tapping your phone now. So why can't you reach your other goals?
Yep.
So on the women's side, we've seen a few instances where there have been NCAA women gymnasts who have then after that gone the elite route.
Yeah.
And in a few instances, they have actually brought their college coaches with them, because that's where they felt that they were finding the most success, the best connection. And those coaches, you know, Chris Waller did that. Is that anything that has ever happened? Have you ever had anybody say, dude, I want to do this, but I want to do it with you?
I mean, I think that like our system kind of is ingrained in that, right? So we travel, people come to college to advance their the next step in their career. So I think inherently that's happening all the time. You know, you see that in men's gymnastics programs. You know, you go to Winter Cup. It's a big NCAA gathering. All the college coaches are there because they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever athletes on the floor that are, you know, that are doing that. And if those guys make the national team and go to international events, Worlds and Olympics, you're going with them. So I was in Tokyo with Alex Diab this summer.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting at.
Which was awful experience.
Why was it awful?
You just stay in a hotel.
Oh yeah, I've heard some stories.
And so like he didn't know any different, maybe, but like I did. Like I was in Beijing and it was awesome. And we finished, we got a medal, and we went and toured the city, and we got suits made at the silk market, and we went out and we saw the sun come up after because we were done and we were adults and could just celebrate 4 years of this Olympic commitment. Yeah. This time we stayed in a hotel room for 10 days straight.
Ugh. And you couldn't eat or something? Like
you weren't allowed to leave the hotel. About 4 days in, we discovered Uber Eats, and we started just throwing cash down on that because we had this food package that was kind of incorporated in the hotel we were staying at. And so food, cold bento boxes showed up on our floor 3 times a day, basically. So we were shuffled to practice, and then back in, they walked us around the back. Like I never stepped foot on like a public sidewalk without like an escort to get right into our shuttle service. 10 days straight. The first time we ate at a restaurant was in the airport in Japan as we were leaving.
We're like, this is amazing.
Yeah. I took a picture. That's like one photo. It's me and I'm like, first restaurant visit. Woo!
Oh my gosh.
And I feel for the guys, right?
So yeah.
We huddled together. We played some games in the room. Like we made it fun, but we did not see any part of Japan, which, you know. And for an Olympics, and the day we're supposed to go to the Olympic Village, there was like two cases came up and it was like, shut it down. So we didn't get to go. So they didn't get to see the Olympic Village. We didn't get to see the comp venue. We didn't get to see the city. We saw our hotel and we saw the road to the training venue, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then back, you know, at some point a gym's a gym.
Yeah.
Hotel room's a hotel room.
Yep.
And specifically a Japanese hotel room, a little bit smaller. So. it was nice, but they're not, you know, you don't have the big open corner with the desk like you would at.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. And so does Alex want to try for that again, or was that it?
Yeah. So he got invited to go to the USOPTC, the United States Paralympic Olympic Training Center. I think I said that backwards, Olympic Paralympic Training Center, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's out there, at their resident program, I think with Shane Wiskus right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of turnover with the quad turning over. So I think they're looking to kind of make that program a little bit more robust.
Yeah.
Bring some more guys in there, and actually they're hiring another head coach out there. So a lot of changes happening out there. So
that's a
logical pathway. I think once you graduate, if you don't have like a stipend or a reason, I mean, this is what's hard, right? This is why we've always called, you know, the Olympic team, you know, team of volunteers. Like if you're a national team member and you're not even if you are a Sam Mikulik over his last, you know, 3 Olympic runs, like I don't know what kind of sponsorships he had, but you know, outside of tour, which the guys didn't get to be a part of this year, you don't make any money, and you're sometimes a 28-year-old man who makes maybe the national team stipend, which isn't enough to pay rent and a cell phone bill, right? Like, it's like, what do you do?
Right.
So the resident program out Colorado Springs at least covers a lot of those living expenses.
Yeah.
You're, you know, able to stay on base and eat. Basically room and board scholarship, which is epic.
Yep. And that's even just to get on the national team, you're still in that boat. I had Eddie Umphrey on, and he was talking about going to Jimmy John's and wait until right before they closed to get the day-old bread that was now 2 days old to make. I mean, it was just like, obviously there's love for the sport and that's what drives you, but it doesn't necessarily seem right, especially once you're on. So,
or if you're on and then you're off.
Yeah.
I was on the national team, but I hurt my ankle and now I'm not.
So you don't eat.
So I don't have a stipend. I don't have a job because my job is to be a full-time training for an Olympic team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. People have rose colored glasses because they see the Simones who's made an amazing career from the sport of gymnastics. But then once you go down about 7 or 8 places in that lineup, that girl or guy isn't making ends meet for his life, his or her life.
Correct.
Very quickly goes down. So yeah, it's tough. Can be tough. Can be very tough.
Talk about making the sport more appealing, huh?
But that's not exclusive to men's gymnastics, right? Like, there are books written about this. You train your whole life and you're an archery gold medalist. You go home and you've got your little parade from your hometown and, you know, you go on your local media and then 3 months later, you're like, hey, I guess I got to go get a job. Like, oh man, it's over.
Next thing you know, you're applying for a greeting card company.
And then next thing you know, you're writing taglines for a greeting card company. Son of a bitch. Woo, what a 180.
Well, it's always fun to point out problems and not solve them. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
That's not that I'm not working to solve them.
It's just, I know.
I got a lot of problems to solve. And
oh, I just meant in the 30 minutes that we're talking. That was, it was entertaining.
Is that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to fix all these problems?
Figuring out as I go along.
This podcast would really pick up. You start fixing some of this stuff.
Could you imagine? Every episode just solves a major
Ka-ching.
Issue.
Another thing fixed.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your real job. And thank you again for joining me.
Thanks for having me back on.
And when it's time for a co-host, I might come knocking at your door.
You ever talked about doing some collabs?
Like?
You know, like me and?
Oh, absolutely.
Someone?
Yeah.
You know, three's a crowd, but maybe not always.
No, I got a duo coming on Thursday, actually.
Oh, well, Jesus. All right.
But they're you have a brilliant idea. They are coming on together because they are currently together doing something that I need to talk to them about.
Oh, nice.
Like a little team. But what did you have in mind?
I don't know. I think it's really, I love the idea of like a monitor kind of being in the middle of maybe people that have opposing or just different viewpoints.
Yeah.
Not to come on and just verbally duke it out with someone, but to just like, the idea of even just in my world, like the idea that college men's gym is not at all the best way to create Olympic gold medals for a men's program. And that's why men's haven't been at the top of the podium, is because we've been using the collegiate men's system. And if you look at other programs around the world, they have very different models. And it's just, but Japan does. They have a very robust, I think it's the second time I use that word, collegiate gymnastics competitive system, and they've been fantastic. So, you know, that alone would be an argument against that. But then Europe does not. I don't know.
That's really interesting. I love that idea. I'm all game to be a mediator. I might need to get like a little, what is that, little bell?
Like up, a boxing bell.
Time's up,
ding,
boom.
Ding.
Yes, exactly.
Let's next get round. Ready to, yeah.
Time's up.
It'd be an epic start to like, well, I have an opinion. Like, hype it up, big bell, and it's like, we're going to talk about this.
And we're going to be very kind with our words.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You, it's your show, Nicole. You kind of set it up the way you want.
Oh, I like that idea. The mini-sodes, I'm starting to do the full ones every other week now because they're just so time-consuming.
What about some mag-wag cross over, you know?
Sometimes I would love to do that.
Or even let's not forget the other concentrations we have in gymnastics, rhythmic and tumbling and acro.
I can't save the world, Spring. I can't.
I'm just saying ideas for pairings. I'm not saying you need to just relax.
Did you tell me to relax on my show?
Yeah, I found out that every time I tell someone to relax, it does the opposite.
It's the worst.
My kids included.
It's the worst.
He had a meltdown today because he couldn't figure out the knot on his paracord bracelet. Meltdown. Full 9-year-old, full blown meltdown before school.
Yeah.
And I'm like getting ready. I'm like, buddy, you gotta relax. This isn't the time. I can't relax. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. That doesn't help anything. Don't do that. Don't tell him to relax.
My 6-year-old did that the other day with shoes, and then just threw all his shoes and said, I'm never wearing shoes again. I was like, all right, let's go.
You're
it's 40 degrees out.
Up December. It's gonna be December to remember.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You make your
choices. That's another. I think that's a Toyota. I'm just firing out taglines. Maybe I should work for a greeting card. But all I'm doing is just repeating other witty ones that people have developed. So that's, never mind.
There's something in your wiring, though, that is making you extremely suitable for this job.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got some stability in your future, so don't you worry.
Writer. Never thought it'd be for writing. All right, Nicole, you get out of here.
All right.
You got other appointments.
All right, thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
It was a pleasure being your mini host today. Have you rate, reviewed, and subscribed yet?
Do you think they should?
Yes.